T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
That is the perfect song choice. Relax.
I like it.
It's like a frenetic show.
It's also a National Relaxation Day.
Yeah, let me go with what I was going with.
We hugged it out. We'll hug it out during the break.
I'll buy you a beer downstairs at...
You don't want a hug?
I'll buy you a beer downstairs. It is the Funky Buddha happy hour.
Okay, well, I'll take a beer.
We love ourselves some Funky Buddha. And really, after the 4 o'clock hour on the Hockman and Crowder simulcast, take all the stations, Papa. They should actually take a station back.
Man, players mess up.
After the 4 o'clock hour, they should just... It was really the 3 o'clock hour, I think. I think it bled into the 4 o'clock hour, but it was really the 3 o'clock hour. So what did we do today? Like... An hour and 20 minutes of good radio and the rest has been garbage?
I'll say 3 hours, but
well,
I'm a very loose critic of us. I love everything we do. As soon as the red lights turn on, I love it.
Oh, my goodness.
Dr. Chuck was good.
Dr. Chuck was good.
Robbie was good, too.
Robbie. Oh, Rob Pizzola?
Yeah.
Rob Pizzola was good.
Crowder was good.
Crowder's always good.
Thank you.
I need my Funky Buddha, man. That's I all show. I've been waiting to get here.
God, I have Funky Buddha in the car.
I'm not kidding you. All show. I've been
it's
waiting
not,
to
it's
get
just
here.
Warm. I'm not saving it to drink in the car. It's crazy. I always seem to have a six pack just laying around.
If you didn't listen to the 3 o'clock hour, don't.
I had to go back and listen.
You know, usually I direct you listen to the podcast. If you didn't listen to the 3 o'clock hour, don't. This hour brought to you by Toyota of Hollywood. Shop over 1,500 Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. Hoo-wee! Every now and then, man. And I never really got my bearings after that. Like, I don't know what happened. I mean, how often do you get the boss come in and lecture you on the air that what you guys did today was not good?
I ran from him. I saw him coming. You went that way.
I know. You bolted.
Bro, he came around that corner. I hit it. No, Jack. Ain't no way I'm getting this yellow.
Anybody do that in the NFL when they know the Turk is walking around? When they're doing cuts, you've got to be greeted, obviously. But the guy that tells you to come meet with the coach, bring your playbook, that guy's called the Turk usually.
Yes.
They call him anything else?
It's not. They call it, like, that's the lower name. In every facility, nobody says that's the Turk. It's just the name of the guy that cuts people.
Gotcha. So do people try to avoid, like, they're not going to avoid getting cut, so it's kind of a funny thing to try to avoid them because it's not like they're going to keep you on the team if they don't see you that day.
They're going to get rid of you. If you don't show up, they'll call you.
Right.
If you don't answer, they'll call your agent. Like, you're going to get cut. But the funny thing, most guys know it, and I got cut once, obviously. And I went upstairs, and, you know, we heard the story.
But who told you to go upstairs? Like, where were you? Where were you? You were down on the practice field?
No, I was eating lunch with Carlos Dansby and, was it Randy Starks? But I know Sleazy was there. Me and Los were tight. So I was eating with Los and a couple other guys. And a little regional scout walked in.
But did you have a feeling that day that you were going to be cut?
I knew.
I mean, you knew based on your contract.
They asked me to take a pay cut. And they already were talking about it. So I knew they weren't happy with the money they owed me.
How recently had they asked you to take a pay cut?
This was right after the lockout let out. So, like, they couldn't even communicate with us for, like, about 3 weeks to a month. So right before the lockout, they were talking about it, saying, hey, we might want to move some money. Do you want to do anything? And I was like, no, I want y'all to pay me the money my contract
says. I agreed to this contract. Pay me this contract.
Yeah, so do you want to do something, maybe add another year? I'm good. Just give me the money y'all owe me. We'll just call that even. Like, yeah, okay. So we come back.
It's like the conversation they had with Devontae Parker this season, but he said, oh, okay, I'll take 2 years at lesser money because I'll take the extra year.
And take the extra year and get some more up front. And I was like, no, just give me that money y'all owe me. I like the contract we did. So then we came back, like they signed the CBA, whatever day it was, Thursday night. We came back Friday and practiced. Like it was overnight that we were back in the facility
back to
going
work.
At it. We had to go back to work. So we went back to work that after that first day of practice, that's when they released me. So it was as soon as the day I got back in the building, they were ready to get rid of my ass. So when they did come and get me, it's funny, it would happen just the way it did on TV. The guy was like, "Hey, crowd," it was some regional scout guy. And they always sent people out I liked. And I was cool with certain people in the office. They weren't going to send people that. I cussed out a number of people when I was there. There were some people I didn't cuss out. So they sent somebody I didn't cuss out to be like, "Hey, you come here?" "Yeah, no problem, bro. What's up?" "Oh, Ireland wants to talk to you." "About what?" He's in his office. "Okay, yeah, let's go. Can you grab your playbook?" That's when it clicked.
That's when it hits you.
And like, it was like the Hard Knock thing. "Why the hell I need my playbook?"
Right.
"Nah, it's in my locker." "Yeah, just grab it for me." "Oh, okay. This is the beginning of the end." And I went up there, and yeah.
You start saying goodbye to guys in the cafeteria, or like now you're just kind of in your own world?
No, then you get inside your head. You're like, "Damn, they really about to release me." Then you get cocky. These guys can go to hell. Then you get to the point where then you're like, "Damn, like, do they want to? How much do they want to renegotiate?"
Oh, do you really start thinking that? But like, "Oh, maybe I should make a deal?"
You go back and forth between like, "Damn, should I say something to him?" "No, man. Hell with them."
Pride kicks in.
Like, it's pride and business, and you're always in the middle between pride and business. So, it's, "Man, I started for these bastards for 6 years. I ain't taking no pay cut." Then you get on the elevator, and you get to the second floor. You're like, "Damn, should I take a little cut? Maybe I'd give them a million back." Then you get to the third floor. "Hell with that. I need all my $5 million. Give me my $5.5 million. So you just go back and forth. But then by the time they come get you, it's inevitable. Like, if I really wanted to negotiate, no, it would have been, yeah. Once
they had
they
made up
you,
their mind already. Like, Jeff Ireland wasn't bringing you up as a negotiating tactic. It was to cut your ass.
And that's the thing that guys, like, when I, that's the part I feel bad for. Even the thing about, like, when Vontae said, "I got to call my grandmother," I don't feel bad about, and I know Tay too, and he's goofy as hell, so I would expect him to say something goofy. It's the guys that try to talk their way out of getting released. That's 2 months ago. You should have done that.
Right. It's literally helpless at this point.
Once they come get your ass from eating lunch, bro, get your items, get your little bag. And the crazy thing is, there's a group of people that know it, because by the time I got back to my locker,
right,
my crap's ready to go.
Right. Like, so they're telling, like, they're sending somebody out to go get you, but they're also telling some other underlings, "Hey, Crowder's about to get released. You need to get all the stuff out of his locker." They're telling somebody in bookkeeping, "Crowder's about to be released. You got to take him off the clock," or what, you know, whatever it is.
And when they released John Denny, at some point they're not going to be worried. When they released me, I've heard stories. Now I know guys. When they released Porter, when they release those certain guys,
they don't,
like,
know how someone's going to react.
There's an email or a conversation that happens like, "Hey, right after practice today, we're going to release this guy." And then you see the guy's eyes open up. "What do you need me to do?"
Everybody get to your muster station.
Yes, it's like, "Hey, if he comes in the training room, don't say nothing to him. Just hug him and say, say we appreciate your efforts." And it was funny. Once I started walking around the building to say bye to people, everybody kind of said the same thing to me. And I've told the story before. Tony Sperano saw me that morning and kind of, he looked at me funny. Like, he was like, "Hey, Crowder, what's up?" "Hey, what up, coach? You good?" "Yeah, I'm good." Then he saw me when I went upstairs, and he didn't know if I got cut yet or not. But I knew the writing on the wall, so we still had that mid-ground. And then when I was actually in George Edwards' office, the linebacker coach, and then it was Bill Sheridan, and he walked past, and then he knew I got cut. So then now he can tell me, "Oh, I love you. My wife tell me da da da." But he had his condolences speech set from the second he saw me in the morning, and I could tell by
He just didn't know when.
He didn't know when he could pull the trigger on, "Oh, man, love coaching you and all that crap." But he had his speech ready.
So tell everybody what happened when you go into Jeff Ireland's office, just for people that haven't heard this story before. This would have been the final year of your contract?
Yes, I signed a 3-year deal, and if your contract was up the year the lockout happened, you knew, because that's when the CBA was up. So you would always get a percentage of your contract guaranteed because of the fact that knowing this season might not happen, so let me get some money in this year because if guys are under contract, they have guaranteed money. Anyway, long story short, they called me up. They wanted me to take the pay cut, and I didn't take the pay cut. And then he was like, "Yeah, we're going to release you." And then the ego to the business, I hated Jeff Ireland. So the ego kicked in real strong.
And you didn't like him because he kept fining you.
He kept fining me. He was real cocky. Like, you, the people that saw, people didn't understand my hate for Jeff Ireland, and a lot of them saw Hard Knocks when they got a chance to see how he treats people and talks to people, talks down to people. Like, he's a totem pole guy. If you're above him on the totem pole, he acts like a child and kisses your butt and just gets in line and looks at the ground. If he knows
when
he can
flex
control
a little
you,
bit,
he flexes. Every time somebody would say my name, he would fine me $2,000. Hey, Coach Crowder, I'll find him. Wait, I didn't even tell you what he did yet.
I'll
find him. Don't worry about it.
He rescued a baby.
Bro, this dude find me in Cincinnati. Dude called me a racial slur. Turned to his, I was a fan. It was Cincinnati Bengals fan.
I was going to say, Jeff Ireland called you a racial slur? We got a story here.
A Cincinnati Bengals fan called me a racial slur. I turned around, and this is the psychological trash I would talk. Instead of calling him a name, what would cut him deeper? Me calling him a name or turning to his wife and talking to her? So I turned to his wife that was sitting next to him, and I gave her the call me sign and acted like I was writing my phone number down. This butt wipe tells the Cincinnati Bengals security. The Cincinnati Bengals security tells the Dolphins security. Dolphins security tells Ireland's dumbass. Ireland finds me for talking to a guy's wife that called me a racial slur. And when I tell him the story, he says, oh, well, you shouldn't have said nothing to him. And that's it. Like, he would find every day it was a pink slip. He put pink slips at 1,000, 500, 1,500, 2,500. He'd probably find me close to 20 grand in the two and a half years I played.
So he calls you in the office and he's like, hey, Channing, we're going to let you go.
And now all the ego kicked in. They owed me $250,000 for a workout bonus. If I made 90% of the workouts, they owed me $250. We're cutting ties. I have my guarantee, but this $250 is already mine. Y'all have to give it to me. I had workout bonuses for all 6 years I played. I knew they're going to mail them to you about week one, but the ego kicked in. Jeff, y'all owe me $250. I need my money. I know his answer. I can't really write a check for your money. Like,
we're good for it. You're going to get it.
The 53-man roster is going to be set, and then we're going to distribute out the workout bonuses. Nah, Chief, I want mine now. I'm just being a butt wipe now. I don't like you.
Because he's taking your job, so there's very little you have left to bow up with.
But
you owe me money.
I got that $250,000. So I'll go see. Well, I can't. No, I need see what you can do about that money. I guarantee he didn't talk to anybody. I guarantee he didn't look into it.
He went into a coffee room.
He walked out. He got him a cup of coffee. He went in. He went and got him some damn bugles or something. Came back in and told me, oh, no, we have to mail it to you later. I just needed him to shuffle a little bit. You going to cut me, I want you to shuffle.
Was there no one else in the office? It was just you and he?
Me and
he.
As I look back at it, it was childish. But, hell.
Well, it's like, hey, this is one of those things. Like, they're taking something from you and something that you've worked hard for. And, by the way, you're losing out on a lot of money. Yeah, like,
even half is not full. And
right.
Full was a little pretty penny. It would have been the second biggest year of my NFL career financially.
Your contract escalated?
Yeah. So the first year of that deal was bigger than the last year. So it was a 3-year deal. The first year was nice. It was real nice. The second year was lower, and the third year was right under the second year.
Gotcha.
I mean, the first year, so it would have been the second highest grossing year of my NFL career. I got half of it, which wasn't bad money, but it would have been a multi-million.
Well, I didn't realize that you got half that.
I think it was 40%.
Oh,
yeah. I took a little bit off the front to add to the guarantee of the year, thinking if we go into a lockout, like it was a smart. But Joel Siegel, my agent, was a very, very good agent. He was a very good businessman. So we worked the numbers out. But yeah, it was over. It was over $2 million.
Yeah,
that I lost.
Well, Jeff Ireland, I can understand why you might not like him.
I tell you this, and you don't tell nobody. You keep the secret between me and you.
Yeah.
Okay. If I see him in the alley and nobody's around, I am diving on his ass.
That's what they call on site.
On site.
On site.
I have a list of on site in my life. I got three people.
I know.
Ireland's one of them.
Jeff Ireland. Okay, I didn't know he was on the list.
The fullback, LaRon McClain.
Because he spit on you.
He spit on me. That's where I would rather you punch me in my face than spit on me.
What year was that?
That might be 2008.
And that's still 2019 on site.
On site.
On site.
We got to see each other.
And the third one, do I know who it is?
No, you don't know him.
Oh, okay.
No, it's a life situation.
Oh, Coop.
I don't think I hit Coop.
It was one.
I don't want to hit people that have called the police on me.
Guzio?
I got no problem with Guzio. I give him a new hat. Y'all leave Goose alone, man.
You're the one that just said to get him a new hand. Nobody said anything.
Y'all leave Goose alone.
Dr. Chuck Metzger is going to come on in the next segment. So here's what transpired yesterday and at the beginning of the show and whatnot. Dr. Chuck Metzger is like our staff physician.
Yes.
But we haven't had him on in a while. But football season, we like to have him on. And so Dr. Chuck Metzger is a guy that we can ask a lot of different things, i.e. yesterday we had this long conversation about eating hot dogs, cold hot dogs right out of the fridge. I want to see if it's actually healthy or not, and Dr. Chuck can answer that. Antonio Brown's got frostbite on his feet, and I want to ask him about that, so he'll join us. You got some headlines first, quickly, Solana, before I fall too behind here?
Very quickly, Marlins leading the Dodgers 5-1.
Where's been our baby Shark,
the bottom,
man,
of the fifth. Nah, Crowder's story was really good. I didn't want to ruin
that. That was a very good story. I've heard it before, but it happens to be a really good story.
It'll be up on the podcast at 6 p.m.
Well, don't put the 3 o'clock hour on. Just put that story
put it on
there.
And finally, a fast-spreading fungus that originated in Southeast Asia has made its way to Latin America and is threatening banana plantations. There's a growing fear the fungus will drive bananas to extinction.
What? We're facing a banana extinction? Seems like that should be higher on the story list. Do you have a weather report?
Weather is brought to you by Hialeah Park. It right now is 75 degrees in South Florida. Wind is at south 7 miles per hour, 90% humidity.
South 7 miles per hour.
There's a zero UV index rating right now.
Oh,
out of 10.
Yeah?
That's good. Yeah. Sunset will be at 7:57 p.m.
Oh,
you can
that.
Visit Hialeah Park Casino every Saturday to win your share of $10,000 in giveaways, drawings all day long, and it's free to enter. Visit HialeahPark.com for more information.
Hurricane season is here. It's a reminder for you to call or visit my friends at BNT Impact Windows and Doors. BNT, that's the company my wife and I use for our home. And it's a great feeling when you've got PGT custom windows and doors protecting everything. Not only does the house look better than it has in years, and it feels more secure because it is, but our homeowner's insurance is going down as well. What a great benefit for getting Impact Windows and Doors. So BNT Impact Windows and Doors, Brett and Tom came out to our house. They showed us exactly which PGT custom windows and doors would be the best for us. We chose them. We ordered them. And then, boom, they handled everything from there. They got our homeowners association approval. They got the city permits. The communication from BNT while we were waiting for installation was great. The actual installation was flawless. And then just having those PGT custom windows and doors makes every homeowner feel great. Just a very secure feeling. So time for you to call them. Call BNT Impact Windows and Doors. Have them come out, give you a little consultation. 954-233-0126. That's 954-233-0126. Or you could check them out online at bntimpactwindows.com. Like I said, Dr. Chuck Metzger, our staff doctor, will answer a bunch of questions for us, like, is it safe to eat a cold hot dog right out of the refrigerator? Ridiculous question. What is going on with Antonio Brown's feet? And is that something, frostbite, that many athletes could come back from? Lots of questions need to be answered. Dr. Chuck Metzger will do so next on Hockman and Crowder. It's been very long, right?
I miss him.
Long time. Dr. Chuck Metzger, he has been our de facto show physician for a number of years. And football season is generally when we speak to him most often.
When there's injuries.
A lot of injuries.
Yeah, yeah.
Very rough sport. And I'm sure this season will be no different. We've had a couple issues that we've talked about the last week or so that can use the expertise of Dr. Chuck. Now, everybody, just hang on while I read you his resume, because he requires me to do this every time we bring him on. Dr. Chuck Metzger is a board-certified internist in Boca Raton who has been the team doctor for FAU Athletics and chief of medicine at Boca Raton Regional Hospital. He is a clinical affiliate assistant professor for FAU Medical School and has been in private practice in Boca Raton since 1999. And you can follow him on Twitter at Chuck Metzger. He's brutally unfunny on Twitter, but follow him anyway.
Maybe one punchline a year?
At Chuck Metzger.
Great follow.
It's a great follow. Hello, Dr. Chuck.
Hey, guys. Thanks for that very nice introduction, I guess. Talk about cold or frostbitten introduction.
Yes. Well, okay. Now I'm going to get into eating cold hot dogs in a second, but let's talk about cold feet. Antonio Brown. So he's got these frostbitten feet that have been getting attention for 2 weeks now. He went for cold therapy. He did not wear the proper protection, I guess. And have you ever had, is it cryotherapy? Is
cryotherapy.
That what it's called? Have you ever had that?
I did it twice. I didn't make it a protocol for me, but it is trending amongst athletes right now.
But what, you did it because why? It would help you heal quicker, or it just gets the, I can ask Dr. Chuck, but what was the reason that you did it?
It's supposed to be like a faster cold tub. You've been in cold tubs your whole life. You're supposed to lower your body temperature and like, not, I don't want to say freeze, but lower everything and recover from injury. So it's supposed to do it faster than sitting in cold water.
Did you find it uncomfortable?
It's extremely uncomfortable, but a cold tub's uncomfortable.
Right.
I wanted to ask Chuck too, like, is it more efficient than a cold tub? Because cold water's been around for thousands of years. Cryotherapy just came or became famous recently.
You know, I'm gonna take issue with that. I don't know if cold water's been around for thousands of years. I think it's been room temperature. And then when we found a way to cool it off, then it became cold water. I don't think in caveman times you got a frosty, icy mug of water.
Yeah, in winter they were sitting in the damn lake.
Actually, that's a good point. I forgot about winter.
Ice age.
I forgot
about the Ice Age.
And the Ice Age.
Yeah.
Anyway,
sorry.
So figured I
had to chime in there.
That's why we brought you on. He goes for cold therapy. He doesn't really wear the proper protection, I guess. And now he's got to deal with these disgusting, frostbitten, gross feet, which Crowder has to deal with all the time, but it's for a whole nother reason. He's got disgusting feet. But it's a little aside there. So first off, what is cold therapy, Dr. Chuck? Like, who would traditionally use it? Just athletes?
You know, they generally gear it towards athletes. It's basically a chamber that you walk into, and it's about 2.5 minutes or so where they drop your temperature and cool things down significantly. They actually can get as low as 300 degrees below zero. The idea is to kind of allow for healing because of things like lactic acid and various things that build up in your extremities and in your body as you work out vigorously. It kind of changes the blood flow from your extremities to your core because your body wants to, you know, stay warm, so it kind of transfers all the blood flow to your core. And there they feel that there's more nutrients that when you get out of the chamber and warm up, you know, that those nutrients then feed into the extremities again and allow for, you know, kind of a recovery that's quick. The evidence just, you know, really is kind of not there for it being any better than a bath. It's definitely more expensive than an ice bath, but who knows if it's really actually better.
And I was going to ask you that, Doc. Like, would any doctor prescribe cryotherapy to a normal patient? Because I know it's real trendy right now amongst athletes.
It really is, you know, in the athletic realm. I've never prescribed it. I can't see a reason why I would and what I do. You know, you could think of reasons if you really wanted to kind of go off the beaten path in terms of why you would do it. People recovering from certain treatments, chemotherapies, things like that, where you would try it. But it's really not even close to anything that has evidence behind it for any of that stuff. So it's really just people who want to kind of just try something different, not something I would think has actual evidence behind it, which is really where you want to go.
Dr. Chuck Metzger is with us. So how long would the effects of frostbite last? Like is the feet issue for Antonio Brown, is that something that could creep into his football game because his feet won't be the same?
You know, it's really different with everyone. What I read about Antonio Brown was that he was in Paris in training and went and did some cryotherapy there. What I understand is, you know, if he may have been in wet socks at the time. And anything that's wet that's then going to be cooled down significantly increases the risk of frostbite. And as a result, that's what he kind of was left with. He actually saw a doctor there in Paris who actually did what we call debridement of his feet, where he actually cut into the dead skin of his feet. And that's why he's in so much pain, besides just the fact that frostbite can hurt. So it really depends on the location and the severity and the amount of tissue that's being affected. So for him, I expect long term that, assuming no setbacks like infection or what have you, I expect that he'll be back to 100%. It's just hard to know how long. Part of it is you really don't want to use it, which is exactly what he's doing. He's trying to stay off his feet as much as possible, though I'm sure it's very hard for him to do that just because of what he does. You use anti-inflammatory. You know, there's a process and a protocol to treating these things, but it just got to take its time. And I think there's a good chance over the next couple of weeks he just recovers. But then you start to worry, you know, is he then in condition to endure the rigors of an NFL, you know, game, let alone season? Short of that, though, I think the feet themselves won't be an issue after that, you know, the healing process occurs.
And, Doc, we've touched on this before, but now with DeMarcus Cousins reportedly tearing his ACL after his Achilles injury, and then Devontae Parker, he's hurt again. He's been hurt his entire time as a Dolphin. Like, I watched the movie. I love the movie. What is it? Unbreakable, Split, and Mr. Glass, where, like, there are certain people that do not get hurt, and there are certain people that always get hurt. Is that a real thing? I know it's a movie, Doc, but, like, are there people, like, the phrase injury-prone, where it's just humans that are weaker bodied, their Achilles, their tendons, their muscles, they're just weaker than other humans' muscles?
Yeah, a lot of the stuff that connects muscles to bone and joints to them, you know, the bones to themselves, to each other, which is what a joint is. There's ligaments and tendons, and those are made up of things called soft, what we refer to generally as soft tissue. And so those things can have better or worse quality to them, meaning some of them are stronger than others. So that, along with the way you train and how you kind of recover from those training. And other injuries can really play a role in how likely you are to injure yourself. So basically that's a long-winded way of saying, yes, there is, you know, a difference in quality of a physical risk for someone to be injured or not, depending on what they're doing.
I have to read you. This is, I think, just a great snapshot into where our country is right now. Nobody can agree on anything. These are the two most recent back-to-back texts. How come you don't have this guy on anymore? He was the best segment on the radio by far, followed by who the hell is this nerd? It's really unbelievable. Like, you, the
that sums up my life.
I mean, that really is a wide chasm there.
Just in my house alone, that sums it up, actually.
Dr. Chuck Metzger is a board certified internist in Boca Raton. He's been the team doctor for FAU Athletics and the chief of medicine at Boca Raton Regional Hospital. He's a clinical affiliate assistant professor for FAU Medical School, and you can follow him on Twitter at Chuck Metzger. Let me get to the very pressing issue from our show here yesterday. So we were discussing hot dogs yesterday. Crowder mentions that they're fully cooked once they're inside the package. Once they get packaged, they are fully cooked, and we checked, and they are. And then we were bombarded with texts from people who say that they eat cold hot dogs right out of the refrigerator all the time. I was telling earlier in the show, Gino Toretta texted me when he was a kid. He used to do that, doesn't do it anymore. But there's plenty of people texting. Yeah, I do that all the time. Is there anything medically dangerous about taking a cold hot dog, not heating it up, not nuking it, boiling it, putting it on the George Foreman grill, just taking that cold hot dog out of the packaging and eating it?
In general, no. However, the worry is that you can get contamination of the food in packaging, and the biggest concern is Listeria, which is a bacterial infection that can, you know, it's really more serious in people who are pregnant or have, you know, really young or have certain risk factors like weakened immune systems or just who are older. They can get a terrible GI upset, diarrhea, and things like that. That just can be actually very severe. So there is that risk factor. Short of that, is it cooked? Yes. Can you eat it? Therefore, yes. It's just that's the risk you run with, in particular, things like hot dogs.
So, Chuck, raw dog is dangerous.
Answer that. Don't answer.
Yeah.
Don't answer that. Don't answer that. So what about a hot dog at a barbecue? So somebody grills it up. You know, they got the metal tin of hot dogs and burgers or whatever, and it sits there on the picnic table for an hour or so after it's been cooked. And then, you know, you pick it up, and it's been sitting in the sun, say, for an hour. Is that dangerous?
No, on its own, no. I mean, you don't really worry about contamination at that point.
How long would it take? If it's had out there for 4 hours?
It's not so much a matter of time. It's really purely about contamination itself. So, you know, in the processing plants and things like that, where it's going through different hands and different people, if it's exposed to bacteria in some way, and a typical example would be someone's hands who maybe hadn't washed their hands properly or used proper hygiene, that's what puts it at risk. Just sitting out in the air is not an issue.
What about, like, eating cold chicken versus hot chicken? It shouldn't make a difference, but is there anything medically concerning? Or cold pizza, instead of hot pizza, you know, cold Chinese food right out of the fridge? Is there anything medically concerning about that?
So most of those are okay. I will tell you, though, that there's no question that Chinese food, because of the rice, there can be spores on the rice that can survive the initial cooking process. And then if you allow them to sit in the cold and then eat them again, the spores can actually turn into something called Bacillus cereus. In other words, B. cereus, and that's actually the term of it. And you can get Bacillus infection, which can be very, very bad, actually, terrible diarrhea. It's oftentimes mistaken for just a simple little food poisoning type of scenario, where you have nausea, vomiting, but it can actually, you know, really wipe you out and therefore be more serious than your typical food poisoning type event. And so that would be the one caveat to that. I think if you just eat leftovers of the other things, you're fine. Again, assuming they're not, you know, can't contaminated in some way. But in particular, you know, it's the uncooked rice or rice that's been sitting in a, you know, because of the risk of the Bacillus cereus, which is a spore-like organism that can grow.
And, Doc, you talk about the rice. I know when I go to sushi restaurants, they always have that warning, eating raw food, you know, there can be bacteria in that. With your experience, what foods cause the most food poisoning or, you know, the most visits to the emergency room from eating something? When your experience, what food is that?
Yeah, so salmonella poisoning is a bad one. That's with chicken. You know, so if someone's cooking or preparing chicken and they don't wash their hands, then they somehow, you know, get that exposure into their bodies by eating something after not washing their hands, and they still have the salmonella in their hands. That's a common one. That can give you a terrible diarrhea. That can actually last some serious period of time. Other reasons, people go to other regions, so Mexico, you know, all those types of countries where they just have different cleanliness standards, and also the bacteria that are normally around are different than what we're used to, and so we get very sick from those. So traveler's diarrhea, things like that, can really wipe you out. Those are the most common things that I see. Rarely I do see things like, as I just mentioned, when someone eats leftover rice and things like that, where it's usually GI related, where they're just throwing up and they just get a really bad case of food poisoning and get very dehydrated. Those are the most common things.
Going back to Antonio Brown, have you ever treated anybody for frostbite?
Actually, I went to medical school down here. Yeah, down here it'd be rare. I did go to medical school in New Jersey. We saw some cases of that, and it's like a lot of different scenarios. Many cases of frostbite are quite minor, and they're actually treated at home. They just kind of know what to do just to treat the scenario. I've seen it rarely, and it's usually not that serious, but it can be, no question about it. Sometimes you need amputation of joints and stuff.
Dr. Chuck Metzger is with us. We got to let him go. You have a lightning round. Crowder likes when you come on because there's no copay, so he's got a few questions to ask you.
I got to ask you something, Doc. With all like the injury stuff, I know that alcohol thins out your blood. So like even with injuries, they want to move the lactic acid out, and concussions, they want to move the lactic acid out so that protein doesn't build up. I believe that when I would drink 15 to 20 beers the night of a game, I was actually helping my injuries and concussions heal faster by thinning my blood out to move out the lactic acid. Was I crazy?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
You were leading the witness.
What are you talking about?
You were leading the witness.
You want to talk about leading the witness? You gave 18 reasons why you thought it was right and then asked him to agree with you.
To thin your blood out to move out lactic acid? It seems
sounded
like it
works. Sounded crazy to me.
Alcohol can definitely dehydrate you because it blocks something called antidiuretic hormone in your blood, and that makes you urinate more. So you tend to urinate more, which dehydrates you, which is an issue in athletes who've been, you know, active. Also, it doesn't thin your blood unless you have severe liver disease, something like cirrhosis, and then you don't produce the right vitamins and ways of thickening the blood, essentially. And so those are really the only two things that really, the effects that you're talking about. Short of that, no, it doesn't benefit you. It may make you feel better for a little while, but that's temporary.
And it gives you that whiskey swipe. Then you can last longer. Now you can't argue with that one now.
I mean, can you argue a whiskey swipe? No, I can't, but I don't think that's a medical benefit.
Is whiskey swiper a medical thing?
It's not called whiskey swipe but I don't think it's related to what it's called.
Yeah, it's related to the effects of alcohol on the nervous system.
Oh, we all know what it is. What else? Do you have any?
I have one more.
Is it a thing?
It slows everything down.
It's a thing.
What else?
It's a thing.
We know.
It's a thing.
Do you have any other questions?
You have a little thing. Doc, the medical thought on microwaves with the radiation, is it dangerous at all?
No. No.
Microwaves
no, not at
are,
all. It's,
okay,
it's fun. It's, actually, it's fun, I would say. I don't know. I mean, you know, do what you want with it.
Okay. Any other questions in the speed round for Dr. Jungmeister?
I just had two. Just
That's
had
it.
Two.
Solana, you have a question?
Yeah, this is off the topic of food, Doc. I recently...
Is this about man buns? Is this about man buns, Alex? Go ahead.
No,
go ahead. I'm sorry.
I think
go ahead.
I think I perfected the science of man buns.
Oh,
so
God.
No questions
what's
about
your
that.
Question?
So you.
I was on vacation and I brushed my teeth mistakenly, of course, with instead of toothpaste with diaper rash cream. The bottles look very similar. Should I have been concerned?
Well, I'm a little concerned about your thought process in general, but no.
Also, you're
I mean,
traveling
not really.
With babies.
Generally,
like, what are you? Yeah. What were you doing? Were you harvesting organs?
Very strange.
What's happening?
And we know he can't make a baby, so why does he have diaper rash?
Is that an actual thing, Dr. Chuck? The harvesting of organs from people that don't want their organs harvested?
I mean, there's certainly plenty of thoughts about it. I mean, there's certainly rumors about it. I don't know if it's really true. I've never heard of an actual patient who's had it. Let's say it that way.
Okay.
As far as him, there's no harm that I would anticipate would come of it, because I think a lot of the substances coming into your stomach, you're going to vomit it up or get rid of it on your own. If it really was harmful, you know, you would kind of get rid of it. And you'd probably have to absorb a lot more than what you would put through on toothpaste type of, quantity in your mouth.
It doesn't
even make any sense what he's saying. I mean, it's just a contrived, nonsensical question. Solana, do better, okay?
Okay.
Dr. Chuck Metzger is a board-certified internist in Boca Raton. He's been the team doctor for FAU Athletics and the chief of medicine at Boca Raton Regional Hospital. He is a clinical affiliate assistant professor for FAU Medical School. He's been in private practice in Boca since 1999, and I really do suggest you follow him on Twitter at Chuck Metzger. Thank you very much, doctor.
Thanks, guys.
Always a pleasure speaking with Dr. Metzger.
Whiskey swiper.
Diaper cream.
That was so silly.
What's going on with both of you people?
Both of you people? My questions were legit.
Me too. That actually happened
bro,
to me.
You made that up.
Okay.
You made that
why
up.
Why do you have diaper cream?
Why do you have diaper cream
in your damn bag?
Why
you don't
never,
have a kid.
Why would you be in a room with diaper cream?
A little Desitin is
for what?
An essential.
For what?
Isn't Desitin powder?
No, Desitin is like diaper rash cream. You ever been walking, you chafe a little? Throw a little Desitin on there.
You have
Does
diaper
wonders.
Cream for yourself?
Of course. Everybody.
Bro, just get bigger draws. You wear tidy whities, don't you?
Let's take a quick break here. I think we answered a lot of questions. I think a lot of rumors and innuendo have been put to bed. And we'll come back next on Hockman and Crowder.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.